Okay, welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 186. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
That's me.
And this is the time of year I always look forward to. I mean, well, first off, I hate this time of year. I hate winter. I hate Christmas. Hate all of it. Bah humbug. But I do always enjoy about this part of the
Christmas?
Year.
Christmas? Like, really?
I'm not a huge fan of it. Especially as a kid, I loved it because it's, you know, presents.
You know, presents and shit, yeah.
Now it's like pressure.
More of a hassle, yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. I do understand that aspect of it.
Like, I'll give Christmas this, is like, it makes winter slightly less horrible. Like, there's colors and shit. But yeah,
there's something to look forward to as well. Like,
yeah. I don't know. But I always love this time of year, though. Like, I like doing lists. I like celebrating the best stuff of the year, all that shit. So, you know, doing our top 10 movies and games and all that, always really fun for me. And it seems to get bigger every year. Like, we expanded it to 2 episodes last year, like one where we did our top 10s and our movies of the year. And then a second episode where we did, like, awards, like, individual awards. We're still doing that all this year, but now we're busting out a third episode where we talk about kind of all the movies that aren't going to make our top 10 list.
Yeah.
It made sense to me to do because there was actually a lot of movies that when all of a sudden done that came out this year that I thought were like really fun. You know, like it was a tough top 10 list for me to make, and there was a lot left hanging off the list. I'd say about more than 10 where I was like, it's too bad they couldn't be on. So that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to talk about the stuff that, you know, our honorable mentions, put it that way. And then next week we'll be doing our awards. But first off, we have a little bit of housekeeping in that, I think last time I had reviewed, the Ballad of Buster Scruggs. I gave it real high recommendations, and told you to go watch it. And Chris, you did go watch it, didn't you?
I did go watch it.
Tell me about this.
It's a movie.
It's a movie. Whoa.
I honestly don't remember a ton about it. I mean, preface this. Anybody that's listened to this over the past 185 episodes we've done kind of knows I am not a huge fan of Westerns.
Yeah, I knew that.
I do like anthologies.
Yeah,
this is that. There are some good stories in it that I liked. I like that first one, which is I think it is the Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
Yeah,
that's a fun one.
I really love that opening. I want a whole movie of that dude. That guy is just so much fun. I think.
Yeah, the whole premise is just so outlandish and kind of off the wall. But with this like super serious undertone to it as well, like very dramatic in how it plays out, and slightly surprising in the amount of violence for something that is so chipper and upbeat.
Yeah, yeah.
So that one was fun. There's another one. I like The Prospector. I think that might have been what it's called. Like that one caught my eye a little bit.
I think that one was my favorite. Like, all right, I love the opening one, but it's like so slight almost that like almost feels weird counting it. But
it's such a weird thing.
But the Prospector one, you know, that's a good, I don't forget how long it was. It's like at least 15 minutes, probably, right? Like,
yeah, it's not super long, but it's chunky enough.
Yeah, and that's probably one of my favorite bits. I think that one for me is like one of the best looking ones. Like, it looks like a fucking painting, that valley that he's working in.
It's very beautiful. The whole film is like very beautifully shot,
yeah.
and different for each one of the like little vignettes, stories that are going on. There's another one that is focused on like a lady and the stupid dog.
Yeah,
I like that one.
You like, didn't like it.
I did. I kind of like that one. Like that one caught my eye a little bit, and then the last one I really enjoyed.
Really,
which is mostly just in a stagecoach. But it's this very dark thing, and you ultimately end up realizing that they're probably all dead, and they're going to purgatory or hell or some sort of afterlife. Like, they are traveling to the afterlife on this coach. And it's very interesting as they come to realization that they're not alive anymore.
Yeah.
I like them. Nothing like wowed me, and maybe like, wow, this is, but they were entertaining enough. Can't say I regret watching it. Like, it was a decent 2 hours of watching.
Yeah. I mean, you named most of them. You seem like you liked, you know, the only one I think you haven't named is the James Franco one where he was
like a thief or something.
Yeah.
Was there one more? I thought there were six.
Is there another one? I'm trying to remember.
I don't remember a whole lot about the James Franco one at all.
I think that was probably one of the lesser ones, but it's kind of funny.
I like parts of all of them, but some of them definitely caught my eye a little more, and I paid a little bit more attention to it.
Yeah, for me, it was the Prospector one. I like that. Like, I called where that one was going. That someone was watching him the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but I did not call how it would play out after that, because it surprises you a couple times. And I really love how that one kind of ends with him just like singing as he walks away. Like, okay.
Yeah, like the endings of some of these are really jarring in a way. Like,
I love that one.
Because you got that one. You have the one where it's the lady, and she's being protected by this guy at the end. And
yeah, that's the other one. That's the other one I really liked.
Like, the ending of that is just like,
it's brutal.
So, yeah, it's very brutal. But then just the way it's like so flippant. Like, wonder what I'm going to tell like Buddy.
I love that. I love that. Like that thought process, because like, you know, like I was thinking about it too, because I'm like, that guy's going to think he did it. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I really love too how like when the stories would end, they'd show you the book that they were coming out of. And like, if you were quick enough, you could kind of read a little bit. Puts like a final note on the thing you just saw. Well, I'm happy you enjoyed it enough, I guess. Like,
yeah.
Considering you don't like Westerns.
Yeah, it was decent enough. Like,
are you like a Coen fan? I can't remember if we've
I like Coen Brothers movies at times. Yeah. They're ones that I definitely like. They did the Big Lebowski, right? I'm not a huge fan of that one. Like, I know everyone's like, oh my God, like, I love this movie. And like, that one's like one I still am confused by the popularity of that film. Like, it's just like mind bending to me, the popularity of, but there are definitely Coen Brother movies that I like. And they did another Western that I kind of like. They did True Grit, right? Like,
yeah.
We both like that quite a bit.
I did. Yeah. I think I like this even more, but I mean, I've also gotten into Westerns way more, since when the True Grit remake came out. So,
right.
And maybe that was part of it, 'cause I remember liking that too. But, yeah, this was like right in my wheelhouse, and just, you know, the fact that I love anthology shit, and the fact that they were like actually pretty good for the most part, and like all really great looking, and you know, they have the great dialogue. So yeah, I had fun. But what was your, I guess, what would be your verdict on this?
It's right in the middle for me. I'm gonna give it a 3, but I think if you like Westerns, you're probably really gonna come away enjoying this. If you don't like Westerns, the stories are engaging enough. For the most part, like, there's a couple weak ones that I don't remember anything about, like that James Franco one. For the most part, they're entertaining enough that they'll pull you through.
It's funny. I thought that the last one with the people on the stagecoach was one of the weaker ones, which is the funny thing about that is because, like, I wrote a short story like that when I was in college. Almost exactly. In the story I wrote, it was people like waking up realizing they were in hell. And that they were all bad people. Like, it's a bunch of people wake up and they're like, they're talking to them, like, how did we get here? You know, type thing.
Right.
And then they realize that they were all like murderers and et cetera. But anyways, I thought that that one was just like okay, because I saw someone like hype that one up. I was like, okay,
I mean, it definitely had a different feel than the rest of them. I mean, they all feel a little bit different, but this one definitely had more of a gothic feel to it, and the color palette is way different from everything else in the film. It's all kind of filmed in this blue gray light, very dark. I don't know. It just
kind of
had some good notes.
Kind of reminded me too of like the opening of Hateful Eight, because it has like a really long stagecoach sequence to start that. Anyways, well, we'll probably be talking a little bit more about that movie due to me over the coming weeks. So
I'm sure
we'll wrap that up there, and let's just. I brought some movies that I, you know, again, I liked but didn't quite make the list. You got some too, Chris?
Yeah, you gave me like a list of 10, and so I have another list of 10 here.
All right. Well, hit me with one, man.
Christopher Robin.
All right, sure.
I ended up really enjoying that movie quite a bit. It's very light. It's kind of fluffy, but made me smile. It was a good time. I think the animation is very good in it. I kind of like where the story goes. The last 15 minutes or so are just fun, cartoonish action. And it feels like an updated version of where Winnie the Pooh would be today. So.
I'm still baffled by that fucking movie, but you and my girlfriend like still swears by that movie. So, I didn't think it was bad. I just was like, this is so weird, dude. Like, what is this? I'll throw out one out that we already kind of discussed at length like last week. So I'll be really short about it, but, Unfriended Dark Web, I thought was really cool. Thought it did neat things with, you know, with that screen life idea, and I liked how it turned it more towards just how the internet is fucking terrifying. I really liked it way more than I thought I would. So, but we already kind of went into that a bunch. So, just figured I'd note that again, but, I don't know. Hit me with another one, Chris.
The Ritual.
All right.
It was early this year, I think, it came out on Netflix.
Yeah.
A movie about these four college guys that go into the woods. They're kind of fulfilling the wish of their fifth friend who died in a robbery, and one of them was too scared to kind of stand up and help. And this film takes some weird fucking turns towards the end. There's like a really cool monster. There's some really, really cool shots. There's this one awesome long shot of him running through a forest, but it is lit up like the convenience store.
It's like fluorescent lights hanging above, like in the forest. Like they must have done it practically, I think. Like I don't know how the fuck they did it, but it looks really cool on the movie.
Yeah. It's an image, like that scene, like is just something that has stuck with me all year. It's like, one of the cooler things that I saw all year. So,
you know, mixing two worlds there or whatever. But Chris, we are going to talk a little more about The Ritual in the weeks to come. I really, really, really like that movie. I almost feel like it's due for a rewatch because I'm just like, I forgot a lot of it already. But anyways, sticking in that genre. Overlord, Chris. I don't know. I like the idea of mixing a war movie and a horror movie. And nothing does that better than World War II plus, you know, weird Nazi experiments type shit.
Fucking Nazi zombie the movie.
Yeah. Some Wolfenstein shit. And yeah. I think they did a pretty good job overall on this. It didn't like blow me away or anything, but it was kind of exactly what I like wanted going in, and I had a good time with it. So there was a moment where I thought it would have made my top 10, but there was just too many good movies this year. So
yeah, it's like one of those that was I thought was good, but that there it was actually a very strong year for movies. I think so.
Yeah, yeah, So, what else you got?
Assassination Nation.
Okay, I know nothing about this.
Did a short review on it earlier in the year, but it's about this girl and her kind of three best friends, and there is this hacker kind of exposing secrets of people in the town, and these girls kind of get pinned for it, and the town fucking erupts and comes after them in like this violent flurry at the end of the film. But it's just really well done, like kind of take on social media and internet culture and how much stock we put in that and how much we expose ourselves online. Like the amount of secrets that aren't really secret because we're putting them out there for other people to see, whether it's hidden or not. Like it's available. Like people can get to it. And I mean, we see it all the time with these like celebrity leaks of like nude photos and text messages. Yeah. And like, it's kind of a look at that in a, an interesting satirical kind of approach. And then it's just this bonkers kind of bloody finale where these girls are kind of going up against their townspeople with guns and shit. It's nutso.
I have to check that out. I've seen some people mentioning it and this and that. I'm like, I just somehow, even though you've told me about it,
you've blocked it out a couple times now.
Yeah. I will get to that then, I guess. All right, next on my list, I have The Strangers Pray at Night, which I think came out way early in the year. It's like, I don't know, it got bad reviews even from some people that like horror movies and stuff. But for me, it's, I think, a really stylish slasher film. Like it's pretty basic. You know, there's not a lot. It's not like elevating the genre or doing anything like that, but I liked it, and I liked, like, you know, some of the style it had. Like, they had a really cool soundtrack. It did have some good scares, I thought. It had that cool pool scene with the neon lighting.
A good soundtrack to it.
Yeah, so I really dug that movie. Like, I watched it again a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, I think I liked it even more the second time, so.
I love that scene in the, it's like the concrete tube.
Yeah, like the little sewer or whatever the house is in.
She kind of crawls into it to get away from the truck. And then Dollface or whatever, one of the girl killers, she just appears out of the darkness. Doesn't hurt her, but kind of just scares her.
Whispers at her or something.
Yeah.
I love, like, kind of in the finale, she like lights his truck on fire and he's still driving after her. He's like chasing down her down a bridge, like just really cool looking shot.
And
Total Eclipse of the Heart is playing. It's just like, it's just awesome, dude. Like,
there were that ending, I think, is kind of what threw me off a little bit of it. Cause like it seemed to get a little goofy supernatural at the end, where the guy just wouldn't die.
He did die though. Like,
yes, I think.
Think so. And there's another thing that stuck out to me when I was rewatching it too. Like, there's a part where like the dude with like the hood on his head or whatever, he gets in a car like next to the dad, and he like starts stabbing the dad.
Yeah,
and he's just like watching the dad die, and like you can see his eyes inside the mask watching, and he's just like all like super focused. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I was like,
yeah, it was a super creepy scene.
Yeah. So like, I people who like love this genre like to shit on this movie. I'm like, I don't know what they didn't see, because like when I'm watching it, I'm finding all sorts of stuff like throughout the movie, and the movie's only like 80 fucking 5 minutes long. Like, it does all the things I want it to do. It's like short, it's fun, it's entertaining. It feels like it has some good ideas. Like, I don't know, not to go on too long about it, but I just feel like that one got the shaft a little bit. And unfortunately got the chef for me, because it didn't make the top 10. So Anyways, what
that's
do you got?
Why we're talking about them?
Yeah. So you give another do.
Blockers is my next one.
Okay,
it's the kind of genre flip high school sex comedy. It's told half from the perspective of these three girls that are kind of, they have made a pact to get laid by the end of prom night, or by the end of the year or whatever, something along those lines. And their parents discovered this plot, so they set out to stop it. And I mean, it sounds very cliche, and actually I think it has a whole lot of heart. It's well done in the way I think it plays out. I really like that they respect at the end, like the parents come to understand that they need to respect the choices their daughters are making, and that, you know, they're not these things to be protected. In fact, there's this one great scene right at the end where John Cena's daughter is sitting there talking with him, and she kind of says, like, look, you already taught me how to take care of myself. You've done that. Like, let me do it. Let me live my life now. Like, because if you were doing a good job all this time, you don't have anything to worry about.
Yeah.
And I do think, like, in a lot of ways, like, that's a great message to parents, like, especially, you know, there is this double standard with sons and daughters, and I don't know, I really liked, like, where that film went at the end. So
it had some, like, I don't know, like, its take on things made it feel fresh, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And of course John Cena is always a good help, I think.
He's great. He's very, very funny.
Have you seen it more than once now?
Yeah, twice. I've seen it twice.
Because my thing is, like, I remember really liking it. I thought it was really sweet, just like everyone said, and I, like, forgot most of it. So I guess I need to see it again sometime, because, like, I don't remember too many specifics about it, but I remember I liked it too.
Yeah, I think the parents, like, that they have, like, that are the focus are really good and funny. They're mostly the comic relief, and like, the high school shit is actually pretty funny as well. Like, they do a good job. Those three girls are phenomenal, and it's all very well. But there's a lot of heart to that film, which is something you can't often say about comedies of that nature. So,
yeah. Another film on my list is Chris First Man. Definitely, not, like, in my opinion, not as good as Damien Chazelle's, like, last couple of movies, but he, like, milks what he can out of, like, what seems like a very dry, kind of boring, like, true life character. You know what I mean? Like, he finds what's interesting about that. And yeah, like, he finds, like, an emotional core to the story that also is, like, this big historic event, you know, for mankind. Also really kind of shows how, like, I don't know, how, like, space travel is a little more scary than you thought. Like, it's just like these guys in tin cans and shit at early on in this. And, you know, nearly almost dying all along the way. And, you know, there is some sacrifice and some loss along the way that I didn't ever remember learning about. So, I really admired this movie, and it actually is going to show up in some of my awards. You know, some of the movies that we're going to talk about tonight actually will be winning awards next week from me anyways, but they did not make my top 10. And this is one of them. It's like, it might win something here and there, but didn't quite make my top 10, though. Anyways, I don't know. I still really admired that movie, and it kind of stuck with me for a little while after I saw it.
Nice. We'll be talking more about First Man. Maybe not this episode, but later.
What else you got there?
Operation Finale. which was Chris Weitz directed, Oscar Isaac, and
oh my god, is that this year?
Yeah, it was. Oscar Isaac, the tracking down of Adolf Eichmann, the Nazi. It's when I came out of that, I was like, that was really cool. Like, it's kind of this, yeah. Like, it's this kind of almost like an Argo type film. Like, you know where it's going to end up.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
It's a historical event, but, it's still a well done thriller, I think, throughout the whole thing. It's faded since I saw it. Like, it did not stick with me quite the way Argo did, but I would probably still watch it again. I think it's an interesting story about how the Israeli government kind of went and tracked this guy down in Argentina and brought him back alive to face trial for his crimes as an SS officer.
Cool.
And Oscar Isaac and Ben Kingsley are great in it. I mean, they're both fantastic actors, but
yeah.
They have a lot of chemistry here. And Kingsley as Eichmann is phenomenal. So
interesting. I didn't hear anything about it. So
kind of came and went.
Yeah. Maybe I'll check it out one time. My next one is a movie I actually just watched last night, but I enjoyed it enough that I figured I'd throw it in here, and that's Searching.
Okay.
Which I think you reviewed earlier in the year, right?
I did, yeah.
And again, I think that these Screen Life movies get sold short or whatever. I think, you know, this is another clever take on using computer screens to tell a story. And it's doing different stuff here. It's like in a different genre than, you know, usually these are horror movies. Here this is a more of like a thriller, but it does some, like, the first 5 minutes of the movie, I think it's like a super emotional montage, you know, like passage of time thing, kind of like the beginning of Up in a ways.
Yeah.
I think John Cho gives a really good performance in this. I really felt for him. I was like right there with him throughout it. Like, oh fuck. And like, you know, the way he goes about like figuring things out and trying to find where his daughter is in it and all that. Like, it makes sense. Like, the steps he takes are like what you would do. So you're just like totally on this ride with him. Like, I do think it gets a little like ridiculous near the end, like more and more outrageous and implausible.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, like its strengths for me, like, greatly outweighed its weaknesses. And again, I thought he was really good in it. Like,
yeah, he has to, like, it's basically a solo film. Like, there are other things. He talks, yeah, to.
And
I like the twist. It's interesting. I do think the ending
we could talk about it. It doesn't matter, really. Spoilers for Searching possibly in the next minute or so, but, you know, I thought there's lots of twists along the way, but I liked the last twist, but I did not buy that that cop would kill somebody to her son in the clear.
Right.
I don't know. It seemed
to reach too far.
But she was like a good person otherwise. Like, she just was trying to help her son. Like,
yeah, and I mean, that is understandable.
I mean, it didn't ruin it for me. I was just like, yeah, okay.
It goes from being pretty believable, even though there are kind of twists and turns all over the place, to being a bit outlandish.
I'm very happy it turned out that, you know, his brother wasn't having sex with her.
Yeah, because that was fucked up.
But I thought that it was really smartly written, because it had me, like, hook, line, and sinker. And then he's like, dude, I just was smoking her out. And it's like, that was set up so perfectly early on in the movie, where he sees him, like, smoking weed, and he, like, yells at his brother about it, like, which, the funny thing about that scene where he yells at his brother about the weed, like, my girlfriend said it, and I totally agree. She's like, nobody has that attitude about pot anymore. Like, even people that don't smoke pot don't even give a shit. I'm like, yeah, That's true. But I think they paid that off.
Be surprised.
No, I'm sure there are people, but yeah, and then like it just they played that off well. Like it was a nice like oh they set that up good earlier. Like it and I bought it. But other thing I thought was unbelievable though is that she survived like all that time.
Yeah, though that was like no where way, it was dude. A bit like because it seemed like I mean it's not a long movie but it does seem very long.
like she probably would have not survived the fall to begin with, and then to say that she survived, you know, for like a week or whatever so
without food or water and.
So, anyways, those are spoilers for like again. None of those things ruined the movie for me because I remember you saying too that like the near the end it goes a little crazy or something like you didn't like it and I was like again like it was all to me this was just like a fine B movie you know what I mean but like it had clever you know clever ideas and you know it felt fresh because of what it was doing like,
yep. with that and, but, and, you know. And I really did like the movie a lot there were just like the ending like the fact that she lived was it's a bit like
odd. I'm not buying that. But I was happy that she did because and then there was like a little like sweet moment at the end. That's what I like about these Screen Life things. Like they're doing things like they couldn't be done before. There's a part early on in the movie where he tells her that he's proud of her. Like he types it out to her. I'm proud of you. And then he types out, you know, when bomb would be too. And then he hesitates and he deletes it. And at the end of the movie, he does it again, but he actually, you know, types it to her.
Right. He leaves it there.
Yeah. That is the type of thing that, you know, you don't get in another format, I don't think. Like, it's hard to do that. Like, I guess you could do that in a traditional movie if you want. You show someone texting on their phone and what they're writing. But I just think it's using the format to do things that are, you know, different, that are, like, you know, work better in that format. Like, stuff like that, I think is a nice touch that worked emotionally on me anyways. Enough about searching. It was fun. What do you got, Chris?
I'm sure this one we'll be talking about more from your end, but Sorry to Bother You.
Yeah.
What a bonkers fucking movie that thing is.
Have you only seen it one time now?
Yeah, I've only seen it the one time. And
it's on Hulu. So
is it? Yeah, I did. I saw that they had put it up there and like people should definitely check it out because it was one of those limited release kind of not easy to go see movies. It is fucking wild ass ride. That you know it definitely takes its stances on things and I agree with a good majority of it. but it is so fucking outlandish.
That's another movie this year, though, in a way that, like, I don't know why I keep comparing, like, these, like, smaller indie movies like this to, like, Kevin Smith, but it just feel like, to me, felt like, here's this new guy on the scene that has stuff to say.
Yeah.
And he's working, but although, with a small budget here, once again, like, this movie looks really good. It has really strong sense of style. So in many ways, it's much more accomplished than Kevin Smith was starting off.
Oh, yeah. It's like Kevin Smith was like, I have a camera.
Yeah.
And I'm going to film in this one room. Like, this is definitely more ambitious than that. But I get that feel from it, right? Like,
A lot of it is people just talking in front of a wall, you know.
I have shit to say, and we're going to say it. And it's going to be stylish more so than his movies, but.
Yeah. This movie was like a mile a minute with its ideas, and we're definitely going to be talking about it more. Very sad it's not in your top 10, Chris, but everyone should watch it. It's on Hulu, so if you have Hulu, watch it. But worth a rental. It's crazy, and I think it's a movie that I've seen it like 3 times now. Like I saw it twice in the theater, and I watched it when it came on Hulu a couple weeks ago. It's like every time I'm finding new things, like a new little gags and stuff in the background. And it just kind of like grows on you more. Like the twist that happens in it is less like a shocker like it is the first time you see it. And you're more like expecting it to come and you get to think about what they're doing, like what he's doing more. And like, I don't know, like even the second time like I watched it, I'm like, man, that animated short that's within it, like the claymation shit is fucking awesome. So anyways, I mean, we were going to be talking about this movie more, but. Happy it's on your mentions at the very least. I guess my next movie is one I think I'm going to wish I put in my top 10 as time goes by. That's Upgrade.
Okay.
I don't know. Totally another, like, that's a low budget movie, but it doesn't feel it. Like, it somehow works around the fact that it's low budget. It's a lot of fun. Like, I loved him interacting with this, like, computer that was, like, running him and shit. Like, they got a lot of, like, humor and shit out of that, and cool camera work, cool violence. And like I said, like, just convincing kind of sci-fi world on a small budget. And it just feels like one of those movies that, you know, when all is said and done, I'm going to end up seeing, like, a dozen more times than some of the ones on my top 10. So, I know I'm going to kick myself about it, but at least I mentioned it here.
Yeah, it's okay.
You've seen that one, right?
I have not seen Upgrade yet.
Oh, shit. Yeah, it's, you'll dig it, I think. Anyways, what do you got, Chris?
My next movie is Black Panther.
All right. Wow. I thought that would be on your top 10.
Yeah, so did I. And for most of the year, it was up in, like, my top 5.
Yeah. Wow, that's really surprising. There's a movie that happened like that for me too. But anyways,
It's just faded over time. I'm not saying that it, like, has lost its impact or anything. It's this was a really good year for movies, and while this was a really good Marvel movie, it had more to say than most Marvel movies. At the end of the day, it's still kind of just a Marvel movie.
Yeah. I will give it this, though. It does have one thing I've noticed about Marvel movies is they all kind of have this, like, generic look to them. And I feel like
this one has a beautiful look.
Like, it had, like, this kind of, like, blue and purple shit going on. You know what I mean? Like, it had a style. It had its a personality.
A far cooler color palette to it. And some heavy messaging that Marvel movies do not generally have in them. I'm glad that, like, it took a stab at that. I think it does a very good job of it. Like, it does not pull its punches.
As a villain, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't think I could say that about most, like, the Avengers or any of that. Like,
yeah, like, yeah. You can look at him and go, no, I see why he's angry, and also why he feels that he should do these things. He's wrong. But there are good reasons for why he is angry.
Yeah, and it's one that I probably wouldn't mind watching again, and I have not yet. So that's crazy, though. I thought for sure that was in your top 10, at least. Anyways, moving along. Another movie I have, Chris, is Fahrenheit 11/9, which in some ways is already dated because of the nature of how fast politics and news moves now.
Yeah,
because it came out in, like, August or whatever, or September or something like that, and which feels like 18 years ago at this point.
Everything from this year feels like it was, like, a decade ago.
But, you know, I thought that it's worth watching, I'd say. It's still worth watching just because it's kind of a nice kind of, like, snapshot of the last couple years of politics. Like, kind of filtered through Michael Moore's sensibilities. And Michael Moore is, you know, whether you agree with him or not, he's a talented filmmaker, talented propagandist in a way. Like, he's very good at editing images together and setting music and shit to it, you know. So I was just interested to see his take on the last couple of years. There's nothing like, you know, this wasn't like some mind-blowing effort from him that, you know, was groundbreaking or revealed things that you haven't seen really, but it was worth watching, I thought. So, and I really did, you know, there was a point where I was like, is this going to be on my top 10? But no, it didn't make it. Anyways, what else you got, Chris?
So this one kind of pains me to have this outside my top 10 because I'm such a Star Wars fan, but Solo, Star Wars Story.
Damn!
I mean, I really liked it probably more than most people. I've seen it multiple times since it came out. I will continue to keep it in like a rotation when I watch Star Wars movies, but just does not hold in that top 10 for me this year. And I don't know. I saw you retweet something today that a Disney ruined Christmas.
Yeah. Yes.
They kind of did though. Like it was something that I was kind of getting used to and excited for. Like, you know, Christmas is coming. Like there's a new Star Wars film to look forward to. And this year it's like, there's not, there's Mary Poppins.
Well, at least there won't be a billion angry nerds fighting over whether like one of the better Star Wars movies was shit.
Right. And they're still like a year later, they're still fighting over that.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know, but I am kind of happy. I haven't seen Solo. I have not seen it yet. And it's getting higher on my Netflix queue. And I keep pushing it down. Cause I'm like, at some point I'm like, you know what? If you just wait another fucking year, you're gonna get that, the real Star Wars fucking hit. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's
what I really want anyways. And so I don't know.
Like this one, I mean, it's fun. It's a fun movie. I think Donald Glover is great as Lando Calrissian.
That's right, he is, isn't it?
Like I think that he has a ton of style. I think who's the chick that plays on Game of Thrones? She plays the queen, but she's Daenerys. She's fucking, she's in it. She's really good. I think the guy that plays Han Solo himself, he's pretty good. Like he does not do a Harrison Ford impression. He's just Han Solo. Like, and 5 minutes into the movie, you're on board with that as well. It's not this, you know, it's more of a fun adventure type film than maybe like, you know, Rogue One was. It's definitely more fun-ish styled than like The Last Jedi was. But I think it's definitely worth a watch. If you're into that, it's a fun, fun, enjoyable little film.
Maybe around Christmas time. Another one I have, Chris, I kind of mentioned a couple weeks ago that I was like, man, it's one that's easy to forget almost, but it was really cool. It was American Animals, which is like about these like kids trying to like rip off this like $1 million book from their like school library.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a cool hybrid between documentary and just regular ass movie. But I thought some pretty compelling stuff in there. Like, I don't know, just about the like dumb decisions you can make as a kid and how they could affect your whole life going forward and stuff like that. It's worth checking out. Didn't make my top 10, but definitely worth watching.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the thing here is that all these films,
they're good.
They're
damn good.
There's a reason we're devoting an entire episode to this. So.
You know, my last two here, I'm sure some people will have them in their top 10, but what do you got, Chris?
Another one that I kind of earlier this year, I would have thought would have been in my top 10. But The Incredibles 2.
Dang!
Pixar movie. I think it's a damn good superhero movie. In my mind, it is the best superhero movie of the year. But just outside.
Damn.
And honestly, like parts of it are fading. Like
remember it.
Yeah, there are definitely scenes that like I like. There's the Elastigirl train scene. I think is fucking really cool.
Yeah.
There's like the all the stuff that happens at home with Jack and Mr. Incredible, and like as she's off doing her superhero thing and he's playing stay at home dad. Like I think all that stuff's really cool. But like deeper stuff, like I'm blanking on, like it's starting to fade. So it also faded down my list.
Yeah. I don't know why. I thought the movie was great. I just, it's a blank to me. Like, I'm like, yeah, that was a fun time in the theater. That's all I can picture in my head. I enjoyed it.
Yes.
I can't remember. I can't tell you what else. I mean, you were saying stuff there. I was like, oh yeah, there was a thing with the train. Yeah. That's funny though. I'm again super surprised. I totally thought that would be in your top five. So, all right, I got two more. You know what? Actually, before I get to these two, I'm going to throw two on the pile, which I'm sure we would want to mention. Coming up this weekend, man, Spider-Man animated movie. What is it? Into the Spider-Verse or something?
Yeah.
Looks awesome.
Yeah, I want to go see that.
And The Mule, which I'm going to see tomorrow night, also trailers for it were awesome, in my opinion. I agree with Clint Eastwood's politics, but that guy is a fucking filmmaker for real. And so, and that movie looks really good.
I'll be interested to see what you have to say about that, because the first trailer I saw, I was not sold on it. The second one, I felt a little bit better about, but
I've only seen one trailer, I think.
I've seen two different ones. The first one was a little goofy.
Interesting.
But the second one kind of painted it out a little bit better, I think. But still, I was not 100% sold on that. I also don't have a whole lot of time this weekend. So if I'm going to get out, I'll probably go see that Spider-Man movie.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I want to see both of them for sure. And then, like, next week is insane. There's, like, three big movies.
Yeah.
But, oh, well. Come out a couple weeks sooner, guys. They don't all have to be at the last fucking week of December.
Right?
It sucks. Like, I could very possibly see Spider-Man and go, man, I wish I could have put that on my top 10 list because it was so good, you know? But, again, at some point, you got to start putting the list together and shit. So,
yep. Like, the year ends.
So, that I'll throw those into the honorable mention. I'll probably throw in fucking, what else? There's, like, Aquaman and Bumblebee is supposedly great.
Yeah, so, I'm hearing good things about both of those movies. So,
I mean, the trailer for Bumblebee, again, I've never been into any of the Transformer movies. I turned the first one off halfway through and I've never gone back. And I saw the trailer for Bumblebee and I'm like, that looks like an actual movie. All right.
It is a Transformers movie, not directed by Michael Bay.
Could be a key thing here.
Yeah.
So anyways, I just wanted to mention some of that stuff that we're not going to get to. But anyways, out of what we did see, another one for me was Widows.
Okay.
There's just a couple things. Like, I wish that, like, the heist itself was a little more longer and more exciting and something more like Heat. Because, like, that's – and then, like, you know, like, some of the bigger villains, like what's his name? Daniel Kaluuya's character, like – he just gets, like, in a car accident, and he's dead. It's like, oh, man, that wasn't a very good payoff. So it's just, like, a little things holding that back for me, but it was also a lot of, like, cool. Like, it is cool to see, like, a big heist movie done by, you know, a big director, a big writer, you know, awesome cast, the Chicago setting. And they do some stuff with that. I kind of like the whole, like, world built around it, like the world of politics and stuff that was inside of it. So I generally really liked it. It's just, if there were a few things that I think were a little bit better, might have made my top 10.
Nice, nice. We'll be talking more about Widows.
So. Okay, all right. Do you have any more movies?
I got one more. Just outside my top 10 is Instant Family.
Oh, damn.
Which I think I talked about either last week or the week before. Mark Wahlberg, kind of family comedy. And, like, you see him and you're like, this could be generic. I have mixed
feelings. Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, you just get to, like, and not that there's anything wrong with Mark Wahlberg, like, as an actor, but his movies generally have this feel of just kind of pushed out shit. Like, it feels good watching it, but it's like, you don't remember shit about it later. This one definitely had way more to it. I really enjoyed, you know, it's kind of the look at, like, these two people becoming foster parents, the interactions they have with the kids, the overall cast, like, just everything they did around it, the interactions between their families, how they were accepting them becoming foster parents and looking to adopt, and it's all kind of crazy, and, like, there's just things, like, as a parent that I was able to relate to as well, like, not even as, like, a foster parent, just, like, yeah, like, sometimes it's like, why the fuck can't you pick up your shit, and now I'm gonna have a drink because I fucking need a drink. Just like, it's just like, yes, yes, I am 100% behind these people. So yeah, it's quite funny. A lot of heart to it. It's like, I think if you get a shot, I would say definitely give it a go.
I do want to see that. And it's still in theaters too. So like, I might just spring that on Melissa one day. Like, hey, you want to go see this? I'm sure she'd be down. I had one more, but you know what? I want to throw one more. It just occurred to me. Hereditary. It's not on my top 10, and it wasn't on this list either.
Wow. I'm surprised by that.
Yeah. I am too, because I thought it was great. Like, I was in the camp I was in was I was with all the people that loved that movie, but I also was like, I understanding of people that were like, dude, this is way overhyped, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
But somehow it didn't make either list until just the last second here I thought of it. It does get some recognition from me though, going forward. So it's not completely forgotten, but didn't make the top 10 anyways. And one more for me, Christmas Creed 2. I mean, I get anything bad you have to say about Creed 2. I get it, and I might agree with you on some of it. But at the same time, it's like, it's hard for me. Like, if you're a fan of these movies, I think it's hard to, like, hate this movie. Like, it's likable enough all around, in my opinion. And, like, if you're super into the fucking Rocky IV, which most people who are Rocky fans are, like, I don't know. There's some people that would rank it near the bottom. I'm not one of those. Like, I get why it's cheesy, but I still love it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, and if you're into that, like, you know, if you have some sort of nostalgia or attachment to Rocky IV, you get to see the Dragos, man. Like, I don't know. It's fucking great. Like, it plays off of that shit. Like, they do some cool shit with Brigitte Nielsen and shit, too, in it. Like, I don't know. Yeah, I had a generally good time with it.
I too, had a great time with that movie. And, I enjoy being with those characters.
Yeah, me too.
Like, I mean, you know, sure, there are issues with them. There are issues with people in general. Like,
yeah, true.
But I think they do a good job of kind of grounding things in a way that's relatable. Maybe I'm looking at it from too optimistic a standpoint, but
I don't know. And I when you look at the series as a whole, in my opinion, Creed 2, just as like the film making, like the craftsmanship, is above a lot of those other, like a lot of the Rocky sequels, in my opinion, are like, if you go back, it's like there's not, these are like just cash in sequels, kind of, in a way.
Oh yeah, I mean, I would say like
2 and 3, kind of, you know what I mean? It's just like they're good.
Five,
definitely. I mean, yeah, I could go on and think about 5, and that, I like it, but I like all of them. But like, right. I'm saying, like, the filmmaking on Creed 2 is on a higher level. Is it as good as Creed 1? No, but it's still like, this is better than we could expect this deep into a series, you know what I mean? Like,
right, yeah, there was no reason for Creed to be as good as it was. There's even less reason for Creed 2 to be as good as it was, even though it's not as good as Creed.
Yeah, but you know what? And then some of the boxing action though in Creed 2, I think, is really phenomenal. So I don't know, man. Like, it was again, didn't make my top 10, and I could see why some people might really dislike Creed 2, but I don't know. I think if you're a fan of Rocky, it's such a sure bet. But maybe I'm crazy. Well, that, again, you and I both kind of agree on this. We both dug it.
Yeah.
I guess, do I want to know if it made your top 10? Yeah, I want to know.
It did.
It did. Okay. So we'll be talking about it more.
You mentioned 4 films that that are in my top 10. So
so we're going to be repeating a couple things here and there. But there's plenty of still other movies to cover, so it's gonna be really fun. But next week we will have our awards, such as, you know, best actor, best actress, etc., etc. So I really enjoy this stuff. So
yeah, these are always fun episodes to kind of, you know, re-look over the year and go, you know what, this was really good and it deserves to be recognized.
You know, just kind of highlighting all the things you loved with, you know, and with the ability to spoil shit and say whatever you want about it, which we will be doing. So, all right. Anyways, yeah, tune in for that next week, and then we'll close out the year with our top 10 and our films of the year. So,
back then.
Sweet. Yeah.
Movie dudes.